Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Finally, this Advent has seemed like the longest ever. But finally, we get to hear about that for which we have been waiting. Finally, some familiar names in today's story, good old Joseph and Mary. Finally, the baby is on its way. We can almost see Mary on her donkey, her belly puffed out as she rides along, somewhat precariously perched. Joseph stands watch, loving, faithful, caring for his young bride. And the shepherds, are they already starting to gather in their fields? Do they have any idea of the vision of angels being prepared for them? Where in their journey are the wise men right now? How many miles have they and their trusty camels left to travel? Indeed, this is the story that we've been waiting for. This is the one that we've been waiting to hear this Advent. The story of a young woman and child, a sign of peace and hope. And even though Christmas is still a full week away, there seems some satisfaction in being able to hear a little bit of a prelude this Sunday, especially after these recent weeks of comparative doom and gloom. I've been talking about it for these weeks of Advent, the propensity of the Advent Gospels to highlight the struggle, the grief and pain, rather than the hype of Christmas. And we've talked about why that may be. Why it might be beneficial to hear about the struggle of life during a season like Advent. If we are to celebrate salvation at Christmas, maybe we need to hear about just what it is that we are being saved from. But today, as we draw so close to Christmas that we can almost reach out and touch the wonder and joy, today the story of salvation begins to manifest in our ears and our hearts as we hear the words of Matthew's gospel. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. Think about how long the people of God have waited for those words to be spoken. After years and generations, centuries and prophecies that date back to men and women long dead, finally the word is spoken. Messiah. Birth now in this way. I suppose it'd be nice just to have Christmas and skip all of this Advent business. After all, why dig up old struggles and hurts? Why not just leave all those things at the door and enter into a sanctuary of peace where thoughts of grief and pain, violence and evil are forgotten, if only for a while? That's the way we like it. That's the way we'd prefer to go about most of our daily lives, avoiding worry, pushing thoughts of grief to the side, and many of us can because we have that privilege. We can turn off the TV. We can drive around the more dangerous neighborhoods. We can be welcomed in a church because we wear clean clothes and know most of the right words. But our faith won't let us do that. Our faith compels us to face the harsh realities of life. And I know that most of you have experienced something of life that cannot be swept under the rug or driven around or dressed up and made pretty, at least for an hour on Sunday morning. But it's also not just about our own struggles, but about the suffering of those around us. We cannot close ourselves off and live in a bubble of manufactured peace. We have to face a reality that forces us to feel the pain if we are going to enjoy the joy of peace. In the little part of the story that we read from Isaiah today, the king, Ahaz, is confronted with just that kind of reality. It's a long story, but the bottom line is that he has to choose between listening to God and putting his faith in the hands of power and wealth that will preserve his reign and keep his people, at least the rich ones, secure. Isaiah, of course, advocates for an adherence to a trust in God, but Ahaz refuses, even hiding behind a false faithfulness to the commandment about putting God to the test. The king trusts in his power and wealth and an alliance with Assyria, which such privilege can buy. He turns his back on God. In desperation, Isaiah tells the king, even though you refuse to ask for a sign, God's going to give you one anyway. And here it is, a child. A child born to a young woman. A child who will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. In the face of grief and fear, violence and war, God's sign of presence and truth and security and hope is of the fragile life of a newborn baby. The king looks for alliance and strength in numbers. God gives the mundane work of a mother changing diapers and picking up toys off the floor for the 1,000th time. The king looks for wealth and glamour with which to obtain comfort and peace. God gives a crying baby and sleepless nights and the worries for a teenager out past curfew. God with us is the sign we need not to ensure an ongoing peace that we've bought with our privilege. Rather, it's the sign we need to remind us that God will not abandon us in our time of need. You know, I've been worried about this upcoming week here in our little corner of paradise. As I joked about earlier, and as you probably know, it's going to be really cold this week. And while that may be an inconvenience to many of us, it's literally a matter of life and death for some of our neighbors. What does it look like to celebrate Christmas amid the possibility that people may die in our streets while we gather around warm fires wearing comfy Norwegian sweaters? When we look at the nativity scene with shepherds and wise men gathered round a gentle mother and dad kneeling beside a cute little child lying in a manger, do we focus more on the aura of holiness, or do we smell the stench of the animals and feel the pain in Mary's body having just given birth under less than ideal situations? Will the church of 2022 recognize the poverty into which God chooses to become flesh, or will we lift our praise within vaulted halls where the only ones to hear our songs are the ears of those painted into our stained glass windows? That's not my intent to ridicule or demean. I haven't forgotten the good that is done through donations to a water well or gifts that are already gathering around our tree of sharing. I don't mean to say that daily work of compassion and generosity, prayer and service aren't done every day as we look forward to Christmas. I have seen the faithfulness of this congregation and shared with you in that joy. But when the angel says that this child to be born will save his people from their sins, we cannot hear those words as Joseph did and receive that child through the pain that Mary endures, unless we know that the forgiveness of sins is something that still needs to take place in our lives. In the same way that Easter cannot really happen without Good Friday. Christmas cannot happen without Advent, because salvation cannot happen without something or someone in need of saving. Those of us who gather in this place week after week, those of us who have heard the gospel for years and years in this community that lives out this word of peace and justice, we know this message of salvation to be true. We say the words of confession and hear the words of forgiveness, not because we have to, but because we know that we need to. We sing the songs that tell us the story of our faith. We read the scriptures because we know that God really is with us, Emmanuel, to rescue us, to guide us, to bring us home. But this child has been born into our lives, and it cannot stay cradled in our arms. We, like Mary, cannot ponder these things in our hearts forever. This child must grow in us. He must live in us as we go out into the world this week, into the cold, into the violence of our streets, into the injustice of nations that protect their own power rather than heed the call of God to welcome the stranger. And this child, as this child grows in us this week, may our neighbors be brought in from the cold. May words of justice and peace be proclaimed from our lips for the rights of marginalized and forgotten people. May God be so with us and in us that all the world sees the compassion that we share and come to know the glory of salvation. Finally, we get to celebrate the child of the promise. As the day draws close this week, let us gather in the joy and peace of the season with family and friends. Let us share gifts and food and words of welcome with all our neighbors. But because Advent never really ends this side of the fulfillment of God's promise, let us heed the cries of others. Let us bind up the brokenhearted and continue to tend to the wounds of our own struggles. And even though the celebration is oh so close, may we never cease to sing and live out the cry of longing. Come, O come, Emmanuel.